We turn quickly now to the August midterm election, which is behind us. Here to review some of the results, we go to MERS News' Kyle Malin, who's in our studio. Good morning, Kyle.
Hey, good morning.
And Inside Michigan Politics, Bill Ballinger is on the other end of our line. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Mark.
Let's spend a few minutes on both Proposal 1 and Mid-Michigan results, then we'll open this up. Michigan voters have approved Proposal 1, which establishes a framework for reimbursing governments and municipalities after the gradual elimination of the personal property tax on businesses. Kyle, how are you interpreting this?
Well, it looks like those that who were supporting Proposal 1, which is basically the manufacturers, General Motors, Ford, put down at least $8 million to try and get this thing passed, and they were successful. The messaging campaign on this was basically this is going to help business, particularly small business, even though the small businesses are really more the manufacturing small businesses, but whatever. They were more successful in getting out that message, and the local governments were giving them support too, saying that this was going to give them a better funding stream down the line. And so without any real organized opposition, with the exception of folks who just didn't understand this ballot proposal, which was basically everybody, and those who are just generally cynical of government in general, there really wasn't going to be a lot of people voting no. And I think that kind of bears out the results here.
Bill, what did you make of the margin?
I was surprised it was this big. I never thought it would be 70%, which is about what it was. I echo everything that Kyle just said. He explained it perfectly. I think there was some feeling out there, I certainly felt it, that there was so much confusion and misunderstanding by the electorate that people might just throw up their hands and say, I'm voting no on this, or not vote on it at all. And that didn't happen. I mean, they were just overwhelmed, the electorate was, by the one-sided ad campaign, $8 million, by the big manufacturing interest groups, and by, for that matter, as Kyle pointed out, local units of government who you might have thought would have at least been neutral on this, but actually came out and said, okay, we support it too, even though I think they're swallowing hard and hoping for the best as we go down the line.
Let's move to the 8th Congressional District on the GOP side. Mike Bishop prevails. Eric Schertzing for the Democrats. Kyle, what's your takeaway there?
Well, I thought the most surprising result on here was that of Susan Grettenberger on the Democratic primary side. I think Democrats got to feel really excited that she did so well in Livingston and Oakland County, really wiped out Schertzing in both of those counties. It just so happens, though, that Schertzing is such a brand name in Ingham County after having been elected treasurer three times that he beat Grettenberger 2-1 in this heavily Democratic area and negated Grettenberger's wins in Livingston and Oakland County. So, at the bottom, at the end of it all, Schertzing won 43-38%. But I think the takeaway here is that Grettenberger's got a future if she wants to run for something else. She's definitely got good support, whatever that might be.
She was ahead with 70-some percentage, 70-some percent of the polling places in. She was leading, but Schertzing ultimately prevails. Anything to add to that, Bill?
Not much, except you got to remember a primary in August for either party is a totally different animal from the November general election. And so Eric Schertzing doesn't come out of this contest with a huge head of steam as the Democratic nominee, and his party's in the minority in the 8th Congressional District. So he's got an uphill struggle ahead of him.
Let's move to the 4th, which includes Clinton County and featured a trio of Republicans vying for the chance to get on the ballot. Veteran legislator Dave Camp is retiring, of course. We had State Senator John Molinar of Midland prevailing over the accordion-playing businessman Paul Mitchell. Kyle, what do you think?
Well, I think it shows here that a candidate who has a broad base of support can beat somebody who's got a ton of money. Paul Mitchell saturated the airwaves in this area with $4 million of his own money. I mean, by comparison, David Trott put $3 million into his race in Oakland County. Governor Snyder put $6 million into a gubernatorial primary just 4 years ago. So Paul Mitchell put $4 million of his own money in here into a tiny, a congressional district where the media markets aren't necessarily very expensive. Lansing, Traverse City, Flint and the Tri-Cities area here. And so what happened here is that once Molinar woke up and the Midland establishment woke up, they realized, oh my gosh, we got to actually do something here. They got Bill Schuette involved. Dave Camp set up a super PAC, if you will, and they went on a full court press to try and save this seat from somebody that nobody knew from Adam. I mean, you could have run a Bob Smith in there, ran the same campaign. You might have gotten the same numbers because nobody knew who Paul Mitchell was. All you knew was based on what you saw on the TV ads, which he played the accordion, he shot a crossbow. Other than that, all you knew were the negative ads that were going back and forth. And then in the end, I think what that showed is that a good ground game will beat aerial support in these types of contests.
So, Bill, will Molinar prevail in November? It's a Republican district, correct?
Yes. I mean, he'll win in November. I think Kyle's got it absolutely right. I'll just say one thing I always found very ironic about this race that not too many people really remarked on. Paul Mitchell was the state Republican finance director, and he raised money for Republicans statewide and in the legislature and for the governor and everybody else, in a sense. And yet, when he got into the race as a candidate, he immediately set out not just spending huge amounts of money, but, as Kyle mentioned, negative attack ads against John Molinar. You would have thought John Molinar was a communist, and yet Paul Mitchell was somebody who, for a year or more before that, had been supporting Molinar and people just like him. So it just shows you the incredible lengths candidates will go to win races. And I really thought it was pretty unseemly, actually, of Paul Mitchell to have taken the tack he did. And in the end, it didn't work. He lost.
We're talking with Kyle Malin of MERS News, Bill Ballinger of Inside Michigan Politics, talking about the results from yesterday's primary. Let's go real local here for a second, Kyle. There were three ballot proposals that rose to the top here in Ingham County. On the county level, two that involved funding for Capital Area District Library and CATA, and in Meridian Township, a parks millage, but on the county level, all of these appear to have passed. Any insights there?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, we took a look at all the local ballot proposals from a statewide basis, and what we saw was that, by and large, when you had a renewal like you had here with the CATA and the Ingham County Library, they passed overwhelmingly. 99% of all the renewals in this state passed. And when you had a new money ask, like what you had in Meridian Township with the parks millage, those passed at an 80% clip. It seemed like the ones that didn't pass were the ones that were asking for large amounts of money, like the Wayne Risa $80 million ask got shot down. That was the biggest one in the whole state. There was one in Belleville that asked for $17 million for a library. That went down. But if it was a moderate amount, like the parks millage that we're talking about in Meridian Township, it seemed to do okay. I think the exception, though, was in Leslie, where they had something that went down.
Let's break from mid-Michigan results for a minute. Bill Ballinger, aside from the results that we've already talked about, what results outstate have most of your attention here today?
The Tea Party victories in a handful of legislative districts around the state by candidates who are very aggressive and in some cases well-known political figures. I'm talking about Gary Glenn in Midland running for state representative, Todd Corser, Lapeer attorney, who almost knocked off the state Republican chairman 2 years ago, Cindy Gamrat, who is a statewide well-known Tea Party activist for the last 4 years over in West Michigan, Lee Chatfield, way up in the Petoskey, Straits of Mackinac area, who knocked off an incumbent Republican, Frank Foster. These are all people who are going to be coming to Lansing, and they're going to be elected in November, and they're going to be very vocal and very aggressive. Now, the establishment Republicans, more mainstream Republicans, most of the time in most races around the state prevailed. And so people are saying, well, the Tea Party was beaten back and it didn't do that well and they fell short. But I think they really scored some very impressive wins in these districts, and I think this proves they're alive and kicking for some time to come.
In the 3rd District, Libertarian Justin Amash not having really much of a challenge against Brian Ellis. Dave Trott, the lawyer and businessman, prevails in the 11th. Let's return to the state capitol here for just a minute, though. Here in East Lansing, Democrat Curtis Hertel Jr. walks in the Democratic primary for the 23rd Senate District being vacated by Gretchen Whitmer. Kyle, any thoughts there?
Well, just that's not really much of a surprise. I actually thought Curtis Hertel had won that seat probably when Joan Bower said she wasn't going to run for it back in May of 2013. Curtis Hertel has done an amazing job chasing people out of this race, establishing himself extremely early as the person people were going to rally around to replace term-limited State Senator Gretchen Whitmer. So when the results came out, I would have been shocked if Curtis did any worse than 50%. And, of course, he got 70%. So really no shock there, and he'll represent this district for this four-year term. And assuming he does well, which I have every reason to suspect he will, he'll get reelected, I'm sure, next time around.
Here in East Lansing, we are in the 69th House District. Democratic incumbent Sam Singh will face Republican Frank Lambert. Bill, I'd like to go back and hear more of what you make of this 3rd District contest. Justin Amash, according to M Live, went very intense in his remarks after he acknowledged that he was the victor against his challenger, Brian Ellis. According to MLive, really unloaded on this guy. And Ellis had run a TV ad calling Justin Amash Al-Qaeda's best friend in Congress. He said, "I ran for office to stop people like you." What do you make of here the fallout in the 3rd?
Well, the fallout in the 3rd was, don't shoot at the king unless you kill him. The establishment went after Justin Amash and fell short. And Justin Amash, who, again, is considered a Tea Party / Libertarian Republican, won. Of course, it's a little different scenario than these other state legislative races I just described. They were basically in open seats and challengers to incumbents. Justin Amash is the incumbent himself in this race, and I think, there is that old term, sore winner, so maybe Justin Amash was saying, you tried, but you failed, and up yours, I'm the winner.
We'll point out that turnout was low, as forecast, in the neighborhood of 18% or so unofficially. One other surprise, Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence prevails in the House 14th District amongst the Democrats down there. That's all we've got time for. Unfortunately, I want to really thank both of our bleary-eyed guests here this morning, Kyle Malin of MERS News and Bill Ballinger of Inside Michigan Politics. Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure.
Thanks, Mark.